Scripture reading this morning is taken from Psalm 118, 25 through 29. Listen for the word of God. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and He has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, and I will extol you. We give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His steadfast love endures forever. The second reading today is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20, verses 29 through 34. This is where Jesus goes with two blind men. As they were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. There were two blind men sitting by the roadside. When they heard that Jesus was passing by, they shouted, Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David. The crowd sternly ordered them to be quiet, but they shouted even more loudly, have mercy on us, Lord, Son of David. Jesus stood still and called to them, saying, what do you want me to do for you? And they said, Lord, let our eyes be opened. And moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes, and immediately they regained their sight and followed him. The final reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 1 through 16. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey. Tie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, he'll say to them, the Lord needs them, and he will send them immediately. This took place to fulfill what has been spoken through the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others got branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of them were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven! And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, the crowds were saying, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. Then Jesus entered the temple and drew out all who were selling and buying in the temple, and he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves, and he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you are making a den of robbers. The blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he cured them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw this amazing things that he did, they heard the children cry out in the temple, Hosanna to the Son of David. They became angry, and they said to him, do you hear what they are saying? And Jesus said to them, have you never read that out of the mouths of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared graves for yourself? The same is the reading of the word. Thanks be to God.
God, we heard your holy word, and we ask you to speak through your word, and to speak directly with your majesty and might in Jesus' name. says in a number of places that a good portion of the crowd were there when Lazarus was raised from the dead. When Lazarus was raised from the dead. To tell you the truth, even if you were religious, if you saw someone raise you, raise a person from the dead, you'd want to watch and see what is going to do next. Although, by and large, they had viewed him at least as a prophet, a voice of God, empowered by God. And you might remember that just before Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he had the conversation with Martha. He said, "Do you believe?" And she said, "Yes, Lord." She acknowledged his authority. "I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God." And in forms of God, that this would be the Psalm 118 passage of the Hosanna. And so, for those facing death, Hosanna means, "I'm counting on you, help me." If you ever been ready for surgery, and it was a serious surgery, there's a little bit of Hosanna to the doctor, and perhaps a great deal of Hosanna to the Lord. As you were about it, or perhaps the one you love, there's a great deal of Hosanna. Save me. Lord, have mercy. The helpers come, and this is the holy time of the year, and any good, faithful human or Jew would want to make it to Jerusalem at least once in their lifetime, and many of them had been afforded would come virtually every year to the springtime of the Passover feast and the like, and they see that Jesus is coming. They have to wonder what was in their minds. So here in this story, the blind see, the lame walk, the dead are risen, and they come with great hope. But they no doubt also heard about how he fed the 5,000. And if you remember in that story, it says that they sought to force him to be king of Jesus. And to leave to keep from being forced. So, no doubt there were people that wanted to rebel against Rome, and they were looking for an opportunity to use Jesus for this time. And so they would shout, "Hosanna!" in the hope of a military leader that would get them out of their bondage to Rome, that would bring freedom to them, who would bring deliverance on earth. And so they would shout Hosanna. They're looking and waiting for the chance. They would have been the children of the pilgrims. A good number of them were there because their parents were there. And they're just trying to see what their parents see in this Jesus. And if the parents shout Hosanna, what do the people shout? The children, Hosanna. And so they're getting caught up in it. There would have been street kids there. And there were street kids in any city in Jerusalem, the largest city of the region. I've visited the Holy Land and other cities, and there are always street kids who will tell you something. Used to be when you did that thing. It was amazing how many things they would sell you for $1. And then out of the language of the country around, they could say $1. And these people might know that seeking to see. But what did they see in this Messiah? something that would be treasonous, something that would incite the crowd. And unlike the rest of the crowd, the soldiers would not be shouting Hosanna. They'd be watching and waiting in case they needed to go to war with these people. And in contrast to all of this, I often wonder what was going through the minds of the Roman soldiers. Of course, there's alertness in the air because they're ordered there. And they're trying to look like powerful soldiers that they were. And if someone brushed against them by accident, you can be sure that they gave them the look, if not more than the look. And I wonder if they contrasted this march of Jesus, this coming on the foal of a colt of a donkey, coming so simply, so humbly, with how the Roman legions would come. They would have come with the gigantic Roman gold eagle that would have been held out of the front of them. They would have come with their pennants or banners that they would march forth. They would come with their soldiers in their finest outfit, perhaps particularly those in leadership with shining armor. They would have come with spears and swords, and they would have come with the sound, perhaps, of drums beating. We had the movie on Friday of King of Kings, and it had the drums beating as the soldiers were going to encounter some resurrection. And the whole tone power for the Romans would have been like any marching unit or group that seeks to deal with people. It would have expressed power in everything they did. The look of intimidation. They would have either been banging their shields or stomping their feet as they walked in cadence. And the Roman army, as they walked in cadence, very often in the countryside to avoid the bridges falling down that they would have to cross, they would have to go out of step. Have any of you got any of the basketball games in your life? I see a few of you that I'm happy to say. But the doing of that stomping of feet where they're going. I loved when I was in college and the student body was like creating a beat that would just be felt through the whole building. And that was to let the opponents of your team know that you were behind them. And the Roman soldiers came with a sense of intimidation. And they would have their chariots and their horses. When I was in the military, one of the things I studied was crowd control. And if you have a big horse that comes towards you, even if you're pretty brave, most people get out of the way of that horse. And the chariots would seem even more fearful. And if there's a spirit, you walk in line and keep a clear path. And it's a path of intimidation, a path that says, don't mess with us. So what's going through the Roman soldier's mind? Here, if Jesus is coming, the one they claim is so powerful. And it's not on a war horse. On the colt of the donkey. No doubt they looked at his face to see if the presuppose was the expression of Jesus' face. It was the expression of one who came for all people, even the soldiers. They would look angrily at him, and he would look at them as one who loved them. They would look for signs of intimidation. They would see signs of openness and vulnerability, inviting them to come to him. And though they didn't say Hosanna, they must have wondered about such a leader that people were shouting Hosanna. No doubt they kept a sharp eye on the revolutionaries. Those that would revolt and those that would revolt just didn't see what Jesus didn't get and call forth the people to rise up as an army. And the palms come, and the palms are a symbol of not only worship, but when Christ Maccabean came, it was a symbol of defiance and revolt. And the revolting armies, when they printed their currencies, always had the palm on it to show the power there. When the palms are put down upon the ground, and the people see them, and they see what's happening, and they behold the simplicity of this Jesus, who in everything he does, invites people to come to him. And everything he does, he invites people to come to him. I think it's not a, one of the things I think is really neat is in the different gospels, it says that the little donkey had never been ridden. He had never been ridden. Yet Jesus goes on, the palm was taught him then. He's like, I guess you could call him the donkey whisperer. That even the donkey is aware of the care of this Messiah. Even the donkey is aware of it and walks forth with him and sees what's possible. That even feels it, that wishes for such a master. So the crowd goes ahead of them, and they're shouting Hosanna, they're putting the palms down, they're taking their coats off. Why are they doing this? What is crowd dynamics? I mean, if you get people going, they'll do anything. They're shouting, why shouldn't we? But I think there's something deeper here. They begin to have a sense of who Jesus is, of someone who really cares for them. So laying down the palms is the right, and the disciples, when they went to get the donkey and get this Jesus to, they begin to worship him through obedience. As it goes down further, people take their cloaks off. Did any of you wear, did you get a nice clothing today? Of course you did, I can see. Now, will you wear your best clothing for Easter? Imagine the Messiah's coming down. And I take my best coat. And I throw it on the ground. Well, first thing I do is I look and see if the other's watching. I don't want to have a watch on taking care of things. she'd never do that.
But we take it off and we throw it down. It's a symbol of response to who Jesus is. Now, some of the writers suggest it's a realization of our unworthiness, of our sin, our unrighteousness. And we take off the coat and we put it at Jesus' feet so we can be transformed. But whatever it is, it's an act of worship that God had planned on doing. Now, this is how you want to go by now. If I was going to a parade like this, and I knew Jesus was going to come, and if I thought the appropriate thing was to take my coat off, I wouldn't wear my best coat. But they didn't know what was going to happen. So the offer at Jesus' feet, or the donkey's feet, trying to offer Jesus their best, their very best. Do you know what I think would have been particularly neat? Yes, I think when they did this, they were hardly aware that they were doing it. And they were just so smoked. They're so caught up in realizing that this Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and they just can't help them off in their passion. They know what else to do. So with the palms and their coats or cloaks, and Jesus receives this, and he moves along, and the people are moved by the Spirit of God. And as this is going on, of the high priest. And they see the power. It's the power of God, but they don't see that. They just see the power. In their minds, they are wasting on an individual. Because this couldn't be the Son of God. Because if it was, the Son of God would do what they told him. Sense the arrogance of that. The Son of God would look better. This would have been the Son of God where he would live up to their expectations. And they're not only mad at this Jesus, they're not living up to their expectations. They're mad at the crowd. But have you ever been in a mob scene? Let me give you a suggestion. If you're mad at the crowd, be quiet about it. I mean, really, this is what I hear. If you don't want the crowd to express themselves on you. So what do these brave high priests do? They rebuke the children. In fact, they're so brave, they ask Jesus to rebuke. Crazy, they're making too much noise. They're enjoying themselves. And Jesus is out of the mouth of children, comes perfect praise. The praise that fills you, perfected praise, fulfilling praise. And then they say, should people quiet? Jesus says, if they were to remain silent, they would remain silent. The very stones would cry out.
Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah. Do we expect Jesus to live up to our expectations? Does our crying Messiah make him the Lord of all creation? Sometimes in all the stuff that goes on, we forget that Jesus came to save. Jesus came to save. And we think, oh yeah, there's a lot of people out there that really need it. But every day, every moment of my life, I need that Messiah. I need that Savior. Just to forgive me for my sins, but to give me a purpose for my life of following you, to discover who I am and who God is, to discover who I am. Myself.